Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I want now to pick up the threads of our earlier conversation with Marion McKeown about preparing for the possibility of a rebooted Trump presidency. Many European decision makers admit now that they were caught unprepared by Trump's election in 2016 and they're determined not to make the same mistake again. And former NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen even went so far as to say that Trump's return to US politics could be a geopolitical catastrophe. I'm joined by Scott Lucas, Professor of International Politics at UCD's Clinton Institute. Good morning, Scott. Geopolitical catastrophe, overstatement or on point?
Well, let's just say, Philip, that another Trump term in the White House, given the experience of the first term and his, let's call it what it was, coup attempt to try to hold office, if he got back by legal means into the White House, it would be problematic. It would be problematic for the United States, of course, but it would be problematic for the world. It would be problematic for areas like Ukraine. It would be problematic for areas such as Asia, Latin America, and Africa. And it would be problematic for Europe, including Ireland.
Let's break it down and look first at Ukraine. You would imagine if he did get back into the White House that one of the first things that would happen there is that US support for the Ukrainians would cease.
I mean, already you have got Trumpists, and there are a lot of Trumpists who are in Washington, especially in the lower house of Congress, who have made noise for some time about why should we support Ukraine's defense against Vladimir Putin's aggression. Why don't we just cut off all funds? That's economic, financial, as well as military assistance. Now, they are in a minority and continue to be in a minority, I think, not only in Washington, but across the country. But, of course, with Trump, who in 2019 cut off military aid to Ukraine, blackmailed it because it would not dish dirt on Joe Biden, that would be destabilizing for the foreign policy establishment. It would unsettle what the Biden administration has been able to do in terms of organizing the military, the State Department, the Treasury, and other American agencies to be part of the national coalition providing support for Ukraine. So, yes, that's one of the factors that you, as you referred to in your introduction, embassies around the world will be already assessing the possibility of that shock in January 2025 if he becomes president again.
It would split NATO, but then there is, I suppose, a chance that he would leave NATO.
He said he wanted to leave NATO in the past. Now, he backtracked a bit while he was president, but he claimed that NATO was obsolete on the basis of no evidence other than a thought bubble in his head. He quite famously has disrupted NATO summits as well as disrupting other summits, such as the G7 summits, G20 summits. He was part of an administration that his political advisors not only tried to unsettle NATO, they tried to break up the European Union. So, yeah, I do think that the question of NATO's future comes back into frame, at least in the short term, if you have a Trump presidency again, because those people who are the bedrock of American support for NATO, the State Department, the military, the U.S. intelligence agencies, they would also be under attack by Trump as they were during his first term.
We've seen very recently how the relationship between the United States and China is always one that is very delicately poised and very easily disrupted. They've managed to get things back on track there again now. What do you think, what line of approach do you think that he would likely take?
Goodness gracious, I don't know. Because I've got to be honest with you, Philip. While he was president, quite often using social media, on the one hand, he would praise the Chinese leader Xi Jinping, wouldn't it be good if I could be president for life like him, supposedly joking. He uttered no words in terms of China's crackdown, in terms of its internal crackdown on areas like Hong Kong or Xinjiang province in the Northwest. But at the same time, he launched the United States into a very erratic and counterproductive trade war by imposing tariffs on China just to grab headlines and to try that he was the big guy in town. So whether you would have confrontation or admiration for the Chinese is uncertain, but what I can tell you is it means that even as the Biden administration has set down the rules of the game, albeit with continued tension with China, those rules of the game are gone because nobody can anticipate what Trump, unpredictable as he is, would do next.
What would happen in Australia?
In Australia, I think you've got an interesting question here because Australia has become part of that evolving set of relationships with the US-UK deal for nuclear submarines. Australia, of course, is part of the evolving economic alignments in Asia, which include U.S. cooperation. And although Scott Morrison, the former Australian prime minister, was on, you know, adequate terms with Trump, I don't know if the current Australian government would be one that Trump would treat favorably. I mean, here's a general rule for Australia or any other ally of the United States. To be an ally of Donald Trump, it's not a question of being a partner. You have to bend the knee before Trump and treat him as your master. And I'm not sure Australia or any other country, including Ireland, would like to do that.
In the Middle East, you have, for the first time in a very long time, the White House giving Benjamin Netanyahu some pause in his transition from Democrat to authoritarian leader. One assumes that if Trump becomes president, that that only will accelerate.
I mean, one of the few consistencies in Trump's first term was not just an unwavering support for Israel. It was actually going beyond any previous administration. So, for example, the move of the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, the complete cutoff of American aid to Palestinians, that includes humanitarian aid, no condemnation of settlements on Palestinian territory. And so I think you could say safely, yeah, that Trump, who is someone who likes Netanyahu, who thinks that Netanyahu is a good partner, he would bolster the Israeli leader even at a time when I think you have really one of the most serious domestic crises in Israeli history with Netanyahu's attempt to overtake the judicial system and bend it to his will.
You raise a rather disturbing image there of the bent knee. If President Trump, rather, was to break with Europe, what choices do we have here? Can we afford to say, off you pop there now and we'll talk to you again when you're finished this drop, or do we have to take the knee?
I mean, let's be honest here. It's going to be a serious shock to an already rattled international order because you're going to have the convergence of Donald Trump, who doesn't really believe in that international order, alongside Vladimir Putin's attempt to absolutely demolish it with the invasion of Ukraine. But that said, you have relationships that exist. Ireland is part of the European Union, which continues to grow, which continues to develop, which quite likely will be considering Ukraine as a member in the near future, I think. You have Ireland as with relationships, with links with NATO, even as it maintains neutrality. So that's military cooperation, that's cooperation over peacekeeping, over humanitarian issues. And then you have Ireland being involved in other international discussions, including over climate change, for example. And I think the key here will be that at a time when the EU and NATO have been re-energized because of Vladimir Putin's failed gamble, that you just don't simply throw up your hands in resignation and say all is lost if Trump becomes president. You look to where you have been able to work with sensible, reliable partners, and you double down on that precisely because you'll have a challenge which not only comes from Moscow, but one which comes at least from the guy who occupies the White House in Washington.
All right, so no choice but to roll out the red carpet and get the harps out onto the runway at Shannon Airport. Thanks very much, Scott Lucas, for that assessment. A pretty important 100-year anniversary coming up after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.